My special guest, the lady who knows much more about this stuff than me, but who I'm very grateful to have in for the drive this morning, Jackie Main. She is your expert when it comes to all insurance-related matters at PSG Insure Bolito. Jackie, welcome back. It's great to have you in the house. How are you doing?
I'm so well. Thanks for having me.
Great to be talking about this stuff on a Monday, I think, is, you know, shaking off the cobwebs from the weekend, getting your head into the game, and as we are almost in the new month, and almost in spring, a good chance to do some spring cleaning and to figure out what's happening with your insurance setup if you're listening to this in the car or if you're already at the office. And you've got a couple of misconceptions and common insurance pitfalls. Good things for us to think about and to chew on at this moment in time. And since we were playing Ariana Grande, taking us for a test drive, let's maybe talk about vehicles and car insurance. And one thing that I'm sure you get asked by more than a few people, why does my vehicle insurance premium go up every year, but the value of my vehicle goes down? How does that math work? Come on.
The million-dollar question. I wish I had money for every time this was asked. So, yes, it's important to remember that it's not only the value of the vehicle that will determine your premium.
Aha.
So we need to have a look at things like how old is the driver, what is the vehicle being used for, is this business, is it private? Of course, the vehicle value does play a part.
For sure.
Then we have to remember not every single claim is a write-off or a stolen vehicle. So the majority of your claims are vehicle repairs, and our average vehicle repair cost has gone through the roof.
This is it, and I imagine the older your vehicle, the more likely it's, you know, it is to be at risk of breaking down or, you know, needing some serious work eventually.
Absolutely. So the insurance companies also look at what the cost of these repairs are, and we're seeing more and more that they're writing a vehicle off
rather than
spending a lot of money on repairs, because
the
repair cost, you know, with this, with the war, with all the disruptions we've got going on, parts are difficult to get, and the average repair cost is just ridiculous.
Interesting stuff. So there you go. Now you kind of understand it. It's not to do with just the value of your vehicle as the only factor, but the risk. And
yes,
that's ultimately what insurance is all about.
Yes.
So another thing that sometimes I think people just kind of assume, you know, you've got a vehicle and it's got all kinds of cool add-ons and extras, and it's kitted out. But the accessories, are they generally automatically blanket covered under your vehicle insurance?
So this can get a little bit tricky. You know, the obvious Pimp My Ride stuff. I've got big mags, or I've fitted a canopy aftermarket, or the tow bar. I mean, there's some very obvious accessories that you can see. Surely they don't form part of the retail value, and then those you must specify.
Mm.
So to answer your question, accessories are not automatically included. If they're not factory fit, you must specify them. You'll pay additional premium. But this can get a little tricky, because sometimes the vehicle comes from the factory. The dealership then puts a whole package on, and the client just assumes that these are factory fit, that they're included in the retail value, and they aren't. So it's important to understand this. On a new vehicle, you can generally get it off the invoice. When it's a used vehicle, it can be quite difficult to work out what are standard, what's included in the retail value, what isn't. So you need to find that out and specify. Even something like signage. People often forget their vehicles are full of branding. That wrapping is expensive. You must insure that.
This is the thing. So you don't just assume that it's all
never locked assume in. Never.
And I suppose that leads into something that isn't just specific to the world of vehicle insurance, but insurance in general. How big an issue is under insurance in your experience?
So probably one of the biggest causes of unhappiness. When people stand around the bar and they moan about the fact that the insurance company didn't pay out everything in their last burglary claim, it's usually due to underinsurance. So let's take a building. I build this house in Umbilo and it costs me 4 million rand to build. I build the same house on the Zimbiti estate in Bolito, costs me 4 million rand to build. I put both houses on the market. I sell the Zimbiti house for 8 million. Umbilo, not so much. I sell for 2 million. So the market value and the rebuilding costs two different things. From an insurance perspective, you must insure it for what it costs to rebuild your house, right?
Okay.
And then your contents. Your contents need to be insured for what it costs to replace today. So let's say you have a claim I don't know, a little flood claim, something happens, or you leave the oil burning on your kitchen stove, there's a fire claim. Let's say your claim is 200,000 rand. Okay, that's a sizable claim. The assessor comes out and he says, oh, nee, I'm a fro. Your contents should have been insured for 800,000 rand and they're only insured for 400,000 rand. Mm. That makes you 50% underinsured, so your claim gets settled at 50%. Same on the building. So,
oh man,
the difference in the premium to just insure for the correct amount, as opposed to having your claim slashed, you know, it's a no-brainer.
This is maybe the wake-up call that people need to hear on a Monday morning, and maybe you should be making some calls and getting a new assessment, a refreshed assessment, because maybe your situation has changed from the last time. You know, maybe you've moved up in the world or changed your setup, remodel, but that's a big one, under insurance. And then this other massive title, this world of excess. I mean, where do you know what this is on your policy or your policies?
I'm amazed most people don't know. So the whole industry, just, I think it's important for people to go and double check. So nearly every insurance company in the last couple of months, and if they haven't done it, they're about to do it, have had quite substantial excess increases across the board.
It's been adjusted.
It has. And I think that comes on the back of all the claims we've had, COVID, looting, flooding, etc. So most people don't know what the excess is, and it's important. Is it a flat rent? So let's say your vehicle's involved in an accident and it's a write-off now. Mm. If your excess is a percentage, that is a substantial excess.
As opposed to if it's just a flat rand value.
Yes. So if you choose to have a higher excess for a lower premium, that's fine, as long as you know what it is. But I find most people don't know their excess until they have a claim. So how do you budget? How do you plan? You can pay a higher excess for a lower premium, but do this knowingly. Understand. And the same applies. You can pay for a product to have your excess taken down to zero. Mm. So know, understand what your excesses are.
And just kind of bringing it back to the motoring world for a second, why do you pay an excess on a motor claim if the accident was not your fault? Do you get that question a few times?
Yes, all the time. Excess is contractual. So the insurance company wants you to have an excess. They want you to be on the hook, because then you will take the right action. You will do your bit to reduce loss, to prevent risk, to avoid risk. You self-insured for a small amount. So you will feel the obligation to reduce risk where possible.
And are there products out there that can help mitigate or reduce the excess?
Yes. So these excess solutions, excess buybacks, they all have different names. They are affordable. There will always be certain excesses that you can't buy back. So if you on underage driver, or if you've had your license, I mean, when I say underage, under 25 usually, or your license less than 2 years or 3 years, differs for different insurers. Those penalty excesses, if I can call them that, you can't generally buy those back, but they're smaller, and those would be accumulative. So if you still had a normal excess and you were under 25 and you've had your license 1 year, you're going to have those additionals. So your excesses can stack up. The insurance companies do sometimes apply penalty excesses if you're a multi-claimant. So you've had many claims. One of the steps before they just pull the rug out and say they don't want to insure you anymore would be to apply some penalty excesses, which you would never be able to buy down.
Okay. So this is just the rules of the game.
Yeah.
And looking at some other vehicle-related stuff, car hire. This is something that I think some folks might think is just automatically included on all policies. Is this the case?
No. So some policies will. Look, I'm sure that premium's built in somewhere, but you need to find that out, because we find such a delay when vehicles go in for repairs. There's often a part that's not available. So your vehicle can sit waiting for a part and it's not drivable, so you can't be using it. So just double check on your policy. Is the car hire automatically included? If not, what's the premium? And then I would always take the car hire up. 30 days in our current environment is not enough. You need a 60-day car hire option.
Just to be safe, come on.
45 days minimum, yeah.
And another term that often sneaks in, and that there's, I'm sure, some confusion about, I mean, I'm confused about it. Regular driver, who qualifies? What does this really mean? Why is it important to disclose who the regular driver is? And how can that really affect your claim at the end of the day?
So the regular driver would be the person that drives the vehicle most often and more regularly than anyone else. It's not to say that you can't have other people drive your car, but when we spoke earlier about it's not just the value of the vehicle that affects the premium. Regular driver has a huge impact. So an 18-year-old is going to pay a considerably higher premium than a 55-year-old.
Yeah.
So it's important to disclose up front. And often this will change during the life of a policy. So it was your vehicle. Your son's now just got his license. He takes your vehicle over. You get a new car and you don't notify the insurance companies. And it's a big sticking point on a claim.
Yep.
So also some commercial policies, you know, then underwrite it with a blanket driver. Then put it on a policy specifically where it's multiple drivers. And then you don't have to worry about who's driving it because any one of your staff is maybe driving the vehicle.
Well, this is the thing. And just touching on that commercial aspect, if a vehicle is insured for private use but is used for business or commercial use, that often can create an issue as well.
That could definitely invalidate a claim. Especially, you know, the risk is it's a totally different animal. So if your vehicle is carrying stock in any shape or form, then that must be on a commercial policy. You could have a vehicle insured on your private policy, but you insure it for business use. So if you're a rep or you're a doctor, you're seeing clients, that kind of use can be on a personal policy, but you're insuring it for business use.
Okay.
The moment you're carrying stock and supplies, you're in the construction game, that type of thing, then it's trade use. You must have that on a proper commercial policy.
The picture that I'm getting here basically is that you don't know what you don't know, and you shouldn't assume that you know what you don't know. And you should actually just be talking to a professional in the world of insurance to make sure that you are, number one, not underinsured, that you've got the right coverage for whatever you're in on the personal private side of things and on the commercial side. And you should, I think, in my humble opinion, be talking to Jackie Main, my special guest right here on Radio Life and Style. She is your insurance expert, seriously clued in insurance advisor at PSG Insure Bolito. Jackie, clearly you know what you're talking about. How can folks get in touch with you and the team at PSG Insure?
So we are in the Zimbiti Office Park. Welcome to pop in. If I'm not there, my staff are always there. Otherwise, give us a call on 0860-888-8810.
Couldn't be easier. PSG Insure Bolito. In fact, they're going to bring you the news bulletin coming up in the next 2 minutes. And you've been hearing all of this really worthwhile stuff on a Monday morning from the lovely Jackie Main. Jackie, thanks for giving us this. You know, it's important stuff to suddenly wake up and smell the roses to on a Monday morning. So hope we'll do it again really soon. What do you say?
I think we should. Thanks for this opportunity.
You got it right here on Radio Life and Style, your hometown station, bringing you back home with Miles Smith before we hit the news coming up next.